Statistics tell us that people are waiting later and later to get married. Research tells us that people are even afraid of the whole marriage process. Is it because we haven't done a good job of portraying godly marriages? Perhaps it's because as fathers, we didn't show our daughters how awesome it is to be a wife.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, and I'm your host, Ruthie J. Are you saying then that fathers
Well, you just jumped right into this.
Yeah,
go for it. That's awesome.
You're saying dads need to teach daughters how awesome it is to be a wife? Why wouldn't the moms show that?
Well, I think we portray that. I don't think that's in a lecture. I think that's a visual. I think that's the ongoing video at home called Watching Mom and Dad. I think what's happened, and it's been down through history, that a wife and a woman have been second class. And dad has the responsibility to turn that corner. He has the responsibility to love his wife as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for his bride. Mm-hmm. And so does my daughter see me do that? Does my daughter see me love mom? Does my daughter see me literally be a servant leader? And does that make her think, wow, I just want to marry somebody like dad or somebody just the opposite of dad? Mm-hmm. Which is it? And we're giving, as fathers, we're giving our daughters a picture of either a very dysfunctional marriage or a functional marriage, and they just need to see us do that. You know, driving them home from school and stopping off at this place that had roses, Fresh Market, and going in and say, guys, I'm going in to get your mom some roses. I could have gotten the roses without them, but they were there. I wanted them to see it. I wanted Roby to see it because he's married today. I wanted Tori to see it so she learned what to expect and to know when she's being treated properly or improperly.
You set a high bar then.
I wanted them to see it because I love my kids. Mm-hmm. And my Heavenly Father set a high bar. Think about this. He was with the boys in the upper room, and he gave them a great opportunity to display leadership in the upper room, and they totally missed it in the upper room. And they were having an argument over who's going to be greatest, who's going to sit next to him. And in that upper room, there was something missing that was rather dramatic, and no one would have missed that the servant at the door was missing. When you walk in to one of these things, there are three basic to a meeting or to someone's home. There are three basic things that happen. Your host would give you the kiss of fellowship on each cheek. They would anoint your head with a drop of scented oil. And then there's a pan there, and the pan was for washing your feet. Your feet were the most important items because they're the only things that touch the bacteria of the world because you were in sandals, walking on filthy dirt and camel dung dirt and all this other stuff, dirt. And so you get a foot infection, and there's no ointments. You lose your foot. Mm-hmm. And so it was not only ceremonial, it was reality when you came into that house. You know, you walk into people's offices today, and everywhere you see that dispenser of sanitary bacteria remover, it's hilarious. And that's what that was for feet. And so, but the servant was missing. And when we get to heaven, one of the questions you want to ask, did you do that on purpose, or Lord, or did you know it ahead of time? Or how was that stage mm-hmm. set where you saw the man God saw the opportunity to teach a lesson, or the God man made there be no servant? So they're arguing over what it means to be a leader. And what does he do? He serves the bride. He washes their feet. That is a huge visual. You can lecture it and lecture it and lecture it, but do my children see that? Do my children see that I'm here to serve mom? It's Roby saying to me when he was little, how come we wash these dishes? Do you like washing dishes? And me saying, no, I don't like washing dishes, but I love mom. Why should she wash the dishes? She made the meal. And so helping my children, especially my daughter, how will she know? Certainly not from television. How will she know what it means to have a husband who will serve the needs of the family sacrificially? As much as Christ loved the church and gave himself up, the call of servant leader in the home is hugely missing. And I wanted my daughter to see that so she would recognize that, so she would marry that. And she has married that. And I wanted her to see that so that she wouldn't just marry somebody that the first person that comes along. Mm-hmm. So we play a huge role here of what it means to be a proper husband and identifying when we're not a proper husband.
Now, I know a lot of cultural things come into play
Absolutely.
Here, too. I mean, coming from my Latino influences and backgrounds, you know, the man is king, which it is almost in all cultures too, but it's men don't do housework, you know, and
so let me ask you, is that conforming to the pattern of this world, Romans 12:2? Have we just conformed, or have we conformed to the comforts of this world? There has always been, prior to Christ, a battle for the status of women. Role and status are not the same. Status is worth. Mm-hmm. Role is just some different functions, but there's always been that problem. I mean, there's still cultures today where men have multiple wives.
Right.
And they are very second class. There are cultures. Mm-hmm. There was a major riot over women driving a car recently when they're not allowed to be driving cars. Mm-hmm. So that our job is to do the opposite of what Jesus did. And I mean, do what Jesus did and the opposite of what the cultures did. And he rocked their world. He had women in his group mm-hmm. as he was walking around. I want my daughter to know she's precious and she's valuable and she's protected. But I want my daughter to see that mom is equal. And yes, there are some roles here and the role that she has. The word submission is a high privilege she has. It's not a weight. It's a privilege for Rosemary and I to deal with something, talk about something. And when we can't come to an agreement, Rosemary has the privilege of saying, you know what? I get to back out of this one. God holds you accountable mm-hmm. for this decision, this sacrificial leadership decision. Mm-hmm. So I really have a privilege of not being under the spotlight with God on this. And once we get that, and once we realize, and so one of the things really that was important for us was for Tori to see actually mom and dad disagree and disagree agreeably mm-hmm. and come to a decision. There was an issue on clothing that we had a disagreement over, and it came, it happened at the dinner table, as Tori was so apt to do, put it right there in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And Rosemary saying, well, I think we should probably talk about this a little more. And I'm shocked that we're talking about it still and realizing in the end of the day that she was right as we talked about it. How else will they understand marriage mm-hmm. if otherwise they've just got to fumble? There's enough stuff you have to unpack anyway. That's why it says that a man needs to leave his father and mother. And that's why I think it's in Genesis chapter 12, where God says to Abraham, I want you to leave your city, your culture, and your family. Mm-hmm. I want to start you over again as we start this thing called Judaism. So I think I need to be letting my daughter see some of the things necessary for a healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think I need her to see healthy affection. And I think I need for her to be looking at, okay, this is what we're shooting for here. And she needs to see some of the things that they never got. So let me get this right. You guys are going to a hotel for the weekend without us, and it's even in this city. Why would you do that? And I'd have to say, because I want to be away from you. I want to be alone with your mom. And the look of bewilderment when they were little, mm-hmm. that why wouldn't you want us everywhere?
Right.
and them getting to see that this is what married people do, mm-hmm. Rather than fight, bicker, scream, mm-hmm. and yell. And they need to see that we are together on this. And let me get something straight. So you've already asked your mom and she said no, and you came to me. Let me help you understand. This one was free. You ever do that again, and you're going to be sitting at that table writing a note of apology. If your mom says it, it's done. So don't come to me to undo what your mom did. Your mom, Roby saying, well, Dad, I just need to know who's the boss of the house. I just need to know who's the boss of the house.
Well,
we are, and we answer to God. Mm-hmm. Roby, there's that passage in the Bible that talks about the man and his wife will become one flesh, one person functioning as one leadership team with two different personalities, mm-hmm. All in. And you need to know when it comes to parenting, I weigh heavily on your mom's opinion. We talk it through. But when she's made a statement, then I back her up all the way. They need to see when I walked in the house and they are absolutely taking her on. And she's the relationship person and I'm the disciplinarian. I take them both by the arm, walk them in. He was probably about 8 and she was 11. Walk them into the living room and sit them down on the couch and standing over them saying, if I ever, ever, ever hear that again, you guys would be working for a whole weekend. I'm sorry that you would talk to your mom like that, but you will never talk to my wife like that. They and both of them, you know, I
bet they won't forget that.
And I left the room, turned around, and they were hugging and crying.
We survived. It was awesome.
Yes. Well, they need to see the incredible value of the marriage relationship. And she needs to see, as a man, I am all in on supporting mm-hmm. your mom mm-hmm. on these things. One of them would say, well, what if she's wrong? That's for mom and I to talk about. Mm-hmm. Period. Is your mom perfect? No. She's just more perfect than I am. But is she perfect? No. But that's not for you to take on. That's for mom and I to discuss, mm-hmm. period.
Now, you're talking, though, about a healthy marriage here, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're just parenting, you're a dad, and your marriage just isn't good. Now, you're not contemplating anything, you know, even as drastic, maybe you are, as a separation or something. But your marriage is not the example that it should be for your daughter. How do you make amends then with that?
Well, let me say that, first of all, if I know that, if I know my marriage is not what it should be for my daughter, then I got to ask myself, what part do I play in that? Mm-hmm. And if it's not what it should be, and I'm not what I should be as the father and husband in this house, what do I need to do about that? And I need to leave my spouse up to God, but I need to do my part. So often we want to change the other person. Mm-hmm. How many people have you ever met that said, you know, I grew up in a home and my one parent was a mess, but my other parent, I mean, was my hero. And when I got out of the house and unfortunately, it's usually mom. When I got out of the house and realized how awesome mom was and some mm-hmm. of the, she just managed so incredibly. And I just realized I want to be like her when I grow up. Mm-hmm. We have a huge impact on our kids. And so if I'm realizing my marriage is horrible, I've got to realize I'm passing this a really damaged baton on to the next generation. And why would they ever want to get married? Why wouldn't they live together? Why wouldn't they pick dysfunction just to get out of the house? Mm-hmm. I'll marry anybody or get pregnant just to get out of this house. Right. And so as a father, and that's kind of what we're talking about here today, as a father, I've got to decide I play a role in this. So, you know, Lord, what role should I be playing? How should I be changing? What should I be doing? I need to do my part. And so often we wait for the other spouse to do their part, or we do whatever we can to change the other spouse. I'm a full-time job for me. I don't have the energy to do me and her. But I also have to see this. I'm accountable to God for me. She's accountable to God. I'm not accountable to God for her and what's going on in her. I need to do my part so that when it's all said and done, my kids can say, you know what? Dad plugged away. Dad was godly through this whole thing. When my mom was falling apart, or my mom was doing this, or my mom was out of control, Dad held it together, was godly. You know what? He never said anything negative about mom. And when we were wondering, where is she? What's she doing? He would never let us say anything negative about mom. And he'd just say, well, let's just pray for mom. Let's pray for mom. Those are the greats we find in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Who do their part. We're not in this culture too apt to want to do our part. We want to be comfortable and have the other person do their part. Mm-hmm. There's a great opportunity to watch God work in the lives of the next generation if I'm doing my part.
Mm-hmm. We also feel, though, that if the situation is not ideal, which marriage is completely ideal? I mean, the ideal is even still two messed up people coming together, right? So we kind of have this idea, well, my husband isn't the way that you are, Dr. Barnes, or my wife isn't.
Dr. Barnes isn't the way. You notice Rosemary's not in here for this
one. But you did dishes, you know, that's a good thing. No, but, you know, you might be thinking, okay, this is not the ideal. And so that becomes a cop-out for you too. Well, you know, my marriage is like this. You know, what else am I going to do? I mean, look what I'm already doing. I'm messing everything up.
I'm sorry that I keep going back to Joseph, but I can't help myself. I'm a huge Joseph fan. He does all the right things and goes to prison. And we don't see anything in that passage in Genesis 40 where he whines and complains and grumbles. I would not have put me in this. I'm sorry that I'm here. But there are people watching me here in prison. I'm going to do my part. Paul is in begs God to go to praise to go to Rome. He gets to go to Rome in a way he didn't expect.
Right.
And he's in house arrest, chained to the Praetorian Guard. And he makes the decision. This is not the marriage I would have really wanted, this me in Rome. But I've now decided that I'm going to count it all joy. I've learned to be content. I'm not chained to this Praetorian Guard every 4 hours. They're chained to me. I'm going to give the gospel. We have to decide that we're not here always for our own happiness and what do I get out of this. And if God's going to work in my life, he's got to see me doing my part. And we don't like that. We don't want to hear that. Fix it. Can I go to the vending machine, God, and ask for this and get this and this and this? What he has permitted me to go through is often for my training and my betterment and to make me a better person. Paul just became amazing. And here's what he did. When he couldn't preach to crowds, he started having pen pals with other churches. He started writing these funny little letters to these other churches, helping them understand what it is they believe. That became the Bible. So I wonder if he's happy today in heaven. You know, those letters that just got to me when I didn't get to teach and I had to write. I hated writing those. I'm so sorry I did all those letters. No, it's changed. God's used it to change the world. He wants to use us to change the world, but sometimes that requires some suffering. And so our call is, this is not the marriage I would have wanted. And I don't think if everybody's honest, you never get the marriage you dream. Only I got the marriage I dreamed of. I know Rosemary didn't get the marriage she dreamed of. But even me, I went through a season of about a decade, you know, asking God to get my thoughts going in the right direction concerning my marriage. Do your part. Don't back out because of your spouse. Do your part. Your daughter, and for that matter, your son, are both watching.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to hear this program again, you can listen to it online at parentingtoday.org. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, that's also online at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow on our final session on this topic of fathers and daughters here on Parenting Today.